among other places today as we kind of dig into our theme this morning. But let's just take a minute and let's just ask God to speak to our heart. Quiet us down for a minute. Help us to reflect on what God has for us this morning. So let's just pray. Lord God, thank you for our day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here. Father, you brought some of us here, Lord, in person. Others are joining us online, and we're just thankful for that. Thank you, God, how you've superintended over all of these things, Lord, even during this really challenging day. And we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, about this organism called the church. And Father, in this particular one that we're a part of. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts. Take away, Lord, the distractions. Take away the thoughts, Lord, even of the evil one. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to bring every thought, Lord, into the control and obedience to Lord Jesus Christ, even as we hear what you say this morning. And I just, Lord, ask for clarity of thought now, communication. Help me, Lord, to be clear, to be concise. And I pray, dear God, that your spirit would work, Lord, right up here in the platform and in every single pew. And I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin this morning as we finish up our series, The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And we're going to go right to our next slide there. If you help me, Sam, it's like it's a little stuck. And I just want to share with you guys some of these pictures. Just praising God for, Cindy had a great idea with our cheer team, kind of going out and ministering to families that are going through some real difficulties and challenges. And at the bottom there was our chunk retreat last week. And God's people are working. And God is working through his people day by day. So I'm just so thankful for all of you. And the body, right, is all of us in doing the ministries that we do. So we're just thankful for that. Just as Jonathan mentioned, you know, our food pantry, this week we delivered, probably, I think it's our largest number, 74 families. And people come off and they come right back on. COVID is, what's it, 75? 75. It's like, what in the world? Like, amazing. But I just praise God. And there is a ton of stuff outside. God has opened up the windows of heaven through various people in our community, various places. And there's stuff that if we want you to take it, and if you can use it, use it. If you can give it, give it. But we want to bless you and help you to be a blessing to others. There's things out there that are perishable. I got a call on Friday. I was off on Friday. And someone called and they said, we got all these apples and squash. Do you want some? Take as many as you need. And they're out there on the table. And I tried some. They're good. Not the squash. I had the apples. But the squash is good too, I'm sure. So check it out there. And I just praise God for what he's doing. And I want to just segue our thoughts right now to our next place. And I want to just help me there, Sam. Advance that slide. And I want to think about this issue. And today you can kind of pull out your bulletin, think about it. But today's title is called Messy Church. Church is a messy place. It really is. And you know why it's messy? Because we're here. You know, they say this about church. They say church would be easy without the people. It would be pointless, but it'd be easy. You know, we need the people there. And I shared that I was out driving around. Jay and I were out one night. And we were driving along, and there was this huge light that we saw. And it turned out it was this church. And you look at this church, and you're going like, wow. I mean, they got the spotlights on. The lawn is manicured. The bushes are beautiful. The flowers are blooming. And this is just a couple weeks ago. You know, it's painted well. I don't see anything falling apart. Like, man, that must be the church. You know? And I'll throw out, don't we look at church that way? We kind of look at the outside. You know, we even look at it. Someone said to me, they said, hey, I like that suit, Pastor Gary. You know, and during the summertime, you know, we kind of grade it down, and we dressed a little more casual. And by the way, Jonathan got compliments the same thing. They said, Jonathan, you look good too. You know? And we, by the way, we on the summertime, you know, it's hot, and it was a lot of kind of crazy time. We're just trying to make people feel comfortable. But a lot of times what we look at is the outside, right? And we don't know what's going on the inside. And inside, it might not look as good as it looks on the outside. And that's kind of the challenge of church is that, you know, we have this idea that church is going to be this place of refuge and everybody's Christian and everybody's beautiful and everything is okay and there's not going to be any problems. That church doesn't exist on earth. And it's a messy place. So I want to kind of think about that theme a little bit today. And by the way, I said this years ago. This phrase came to me. And some would say, they like our church. They like this or like that. And I say, you know what? We're a mess, but we're growing. And I want to think about ourselves that way, with humility that we're a mess, but by the grace of God and the mercy of God, he's not leaving us stay that way. And that's what we want to kind of focus on this morning. So I'm going to advance to the next slide. And I want you guys to kind of get a hold of this, this eternal truth this morning. And by the way, this may not be a connection that you would naturally make, but I want you to make it. A healthy church is a messy church. Doesn't that seem contradictory, doesn't it? But we're going to explain why that is in a minute. A healthy church is a messy church, and grace purposefully embraces the mess. And by we were supposed to be purposeful, right? Not just, you know, we're not just hanging out, but there's a reason that we're here, you know, in addition to worship, to grow, to be a blessing, to do what God wants us to do. And I want to read this next part, and I always call it my interpretive statement, right? And here it is. Kind of get your hands around this, right? A healthy church is messy. And I want y'all to think about, by the way, don't look at the carpet when I say the church is messy. You know, don't look, you know, is there gum wrappers in the hymnal holder? We're not really talking about that. That's kind of part of it. You know, that's sort of a symptom maybe, but that's not where we're getting at. But here's what messy means. It's marked by imperfection. We got that one, huh? Got that one down. Check that off. Marked by imperfection. Sometimes confusion. In other words, we look at things and we can't reconcile in our mind. I thought I was in church. What's going on here? There's this confusion sometimes. Complexity. And by the way, aren't people complex? Man, oh man, right? You know, you got that. That's a whole sermon unto itself. Chaos. When you come to First Baptist, sometimes it feels a little chaotic. You know, we'll talk about that. You know, it's difficult. There's difficulty. There's disorder. There is a little dirt. There's division about ideas or how to do stuff or programs. And most of all, there's life change. Amidst all that stuff, God's working on us. And I want to share this point. It's kind of by God's design. And understand what the church consists of. This is who we are, right? We consist of sinners, some who are sincerely but imperfectly following Christ. That's kind of like an amen to that. That's kind of who most of us are. Like we're sincere. I really do want to grow. It's really tough at times. I'm really struggling with it at times. I really do want to grow and change and be who God wants me to be. But we're also, there's probably some of us here who aren't all that sincere and really don't want to grow that much, you know, in the way God wants them to grow. And it's a place where we learn to live and love like Jesus Christ. And it's built this way because just imagine if you were at that beautiful church and it was just as beautiful on the inside as it was on the outside and nothing ever went wrong. We would never get to practice forgiveness. We would never have to love somebody who was unlovable because they'd all be lovable, you know, beautiful. Like, by the way, aren't lovable people easy to love? But and sometimes that's not us, right? Sometimes we're a little more cantankerous. You know, sometimes we use that phrase before in the past. People are kind of like porcupines. They're really cute. You ever see a porcupine? You know, we got years ago, and my wife has tried almost every pet except reptiles in our house. So one time I was at church, it was on a Saturday, and her and my kids, they went to a yard sale, and they came home with a hedgehog. And he's like really cute, and you really kind of want to love him and cuddle him. But when you do, the quills stick in you. And there's some people like that too, right? You know, they're kind of hard to, you know, you want to love them, but it hurts. You know, and that's what the Lord's talking about here. But the church is a place where we figure that out. And we love sacrificially like Jesus loved. So grace is needed and grace is given. And that's kind of what messy church looks like. So we'll come back to that and we're going to advance that slide. We'll give you some thoughts a little bit about that today. And I want you guys to think with me real quick. I know it's communion, so we're not going to belabor this point. But I want us to get a perspective. So when you come to church and it's a little chaotic, don't leave. Or you come to church and it's a little messier than usual, just embrace this. Say, it's your church. It's kind of like it's your family, like your house. You know, and by the way, your house and my house, it isn't always clean. It isn't always orderly. Sometimes it's pretty chaotic. But it's our house. And we're going to stay. And a couple things I want to kind of grab a hold of this morning. So introducing this idea of messy church, what's going on? What is going on? And we'll come to this verse in a second, which, by the way, I think will make you smile, but it really speaks to this issue. But here's a question. Is church just a beautiful museum? And in some ways, you know, we do commemorate awesome things that God did. Maybe we have even some art or pictures that do that. But you know, is church a place where we just reflect on history? The floors are spotless, you know, items are protected. Things are always in order. You know, there's security. And I'll share with you, I had a chance to, my son is here today from New York, but we used to go to his school, FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology up in New York in Manhattan, and they have a museum there. And when you go in the museum at his school, they have all these different, you know, garments and things that go way back and history of all these different things. But when you go in there, there's guards like all over the place. And you literally can't even get too close because they don't even want you to think about touching some of those things. Like they didn't want that thought to even cross your mind that you might, let me check that out, right? That's not even where they want you to be. And the floors, by the way, are like glass. When you walk inside, it's quiet. It's so quiet. Like they want you to think and reflect. By the way, we wouldn't do that at church too, but we have a hard time keeping quiet sometimes because we care about each other and we're yapping and talking. But is church a museum? And the answer, of course, is what? No, it's not that. You know, or is church, in the second piece once you get a hold of, is church, I think it's more of like a messy workshop. And, you know, or like a busy hospital. You know, and kind of in the workshop, it's a place where you're there to build. And you go into, like, we went to Lancaster to get away on Friday. And in the area, there's lots of places that make that beautiful Amish furniture that, you know, is really hard to buy because it costs so much money. But when you go there, when you go in their workshop, I had a chance to go in that, not this week, but in the past. And there's, like, sawdust everywhere. People are wearing masks before COVID because there's dust everywhere, you know. And it's kind of a, you know, kind of a little bit of a chaotic place. There's, you know, cuttings and things. But man, the product that comes out is awesome. And that's a little bit what church is about. It's a place to build, to repair, to improve, and even in our day, to repurpose. And I like to think about that. Yeah, that's a big word. You know, everyone's trying to be more green, and we want to repurpose things, not just throw it all away. Well, you know what God wants to do in a church? He wants to repurpose us. Instead of just being selfish and being who we want to be for our own ends and our own purpose and our own ideas, God wants to repurpose us. And he says this, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, as an instrument of his grace to bring him glory and to make a change in the world. That's what God wants us to be. So church is more like that. It's also a little bit, it's more like a hospital too. You know, it's a place where people go. And I want to throw this out. When you come in church, and it's a little bit crazy maybe. Church is a place where people go with needs. You know, we didn't come in today with like, you know, I'm just here and everything's great. And by the way, if you did, it might not be great like an hour from now or less even than that. But we come in here, we got needs. We got stuff going on in our lives. And we're here and we're looking for God's active intervention. And that happens, by the way, through people a lot of times. Like, you know, God doesn't always reach down directly and change everything. People, God uses people to help us in doing that. And sometimes, by the way, it's busy. You know, in a hospital, and my son-in-law works in the emergency room. He's a resident, as you guys know. And it's cool to have Dr. Chip here. The hospital, sometimes it must feel like chaos. Does it feel like that, Chip? Like when there's like case after case, like, you know, we're talking to Brendan, he's a resident, and they're kind of killing him like they do residents. But, you know, like he's working 16 hours and it never stops. There's another thing, another thing, another thing, another thing. And even this weekend, he's working in pediatric ICU, which probably is a little calmer than the ER, but it's probably kind of crazy, you know? And that's kind of what church is too. It's that place. It's sometimes chaotic. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up and think about this for a minute. Sometimes church is where we see people at their worst. You know, you go to the hospital, you see people at their worst. You know, it's a health crisis. Maybe life hangs in the balance. You know, there's blood. It's just a tough place to be. And church is that way, too. Sometimes, by the way, people don't come to church sometimes until they're in that place. And it's kind of like us. You know, we don't go to the emergency room or urgent care unless we have to. And sometimes people don't come to church unless they have to because they've reached the end of everything they've tried themselves. By the way, even Christians. So that's kind of who we are. And kind of contemplating that just for a second, you know, it's the church is all kinds of people in need of change. And by the way, Paul Tripp made this quote in a book. It's called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And he said, this is what church is. He says, it's people in need of change, helping others in need of change. Isn't that kind of cool? Now, I'll throw this out. It's going to be kind of messy, though. When we get involved in people's lives, even our own families, it's not what we'd like it to be, is it? It's a little bit messy. And that's kind of the thing we're talking about. Contemplate what that means. And I want to throw this out. FBC should be a place of refuge. And I'll tell you, but here's the place. It's not going to be a place without problems. It's not going to be a place where everything is, you know, beautiful on the surface and throughout. But it's going to be a place that we can find grace, acceptance, and change. And by the way, acceptance always is married to change. Because God saved us, but he didn't want to leave us like we are. Does that make sense? So that's what God's looking for. It's kind of messy, but lives are being changed by Christ. And it requires us to adjust our attitude and to give and receive grace. So everybody look up for a quick sec. Here's what I'm thinking, right? When we all come in and it's chaotic, are you going like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here? Or what thoughts cross your mind? You're like, oh, man, let me go back, right? But the point is, right, this is that environment. This is the workshop. This is the hospital. And people are coming with all kinds of stuff. And they're coming to meet the great physician who has all the answers. He's also, by the way, a carpenter. And he could do all those things. And he wants to make us be different. And he wants to give us hope that goes beyond our circumstances and beyond our stuff. And that's what God wants us to be. But I say all that to say this, and I want you to write it down. We are a messy church. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God's looking for. So this is kind of funny, by the way. Take your Bibles. We got to look at this verse. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. It's up on the screen. But I love it. It just makes so much sense. And just to get it clear for a second, anybody know what oxes are? An ox, yeah, it's really a cow. It's been domesticated, and other things have been done. They're kind of sterilized usually. And it's done so in order to do the work that is required on the farm. But I want you guys to think about this phrase in the context of church. It says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. Let that resonate with you for a second. In other words, there's no cleaning up to do. They're not eating, you know, and it's not coming out the other end either. There's no oxen. There's no problem, right? But it says, but much increase comes from the strength of an ox. In other words, if you have a farm, you want to have a lot of oxen, because in that day, when this verse was written, they didn't have a John Deere tractor, they didn't have gasoline, they didn't have steam engines or any of those other kind of things. The work got done by having lots of oxen, right? But if there's no oxen, the trough is clean, but nothing's getting done. And the point I say, and I appreciate Solomon says this in such a picturesque way, that's kind of like church, right? If there's no oxen, everything is great. But if they're here, we're getting something done. But it's got a little bit of mess going with it. Makes sense, right? So Proverbs 14:4. Remember, that kind of drives who we are, what we're doing, right? So let's just kind of dig in for a second. Examining a messy church. Understanding why. And I know these thoughts have crossed your mind. I want to pick up our scripture reading today. But the scripture reading, and notice by the way what Paul says. And Jim, thanks for reading that for us this morning. And Cindy, thanks for incorporating Philippians into that as well. But look what Paul says. He says, but that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing. Everybody look up. Because understand this, what Paul presupposes here is you don't know how he's doing, and how he's doing could be good or bad. Isn't that right? And in the church of Jesus Christ, we don't know how we're all doing. We all look like, you know, kind of got our church clothes on. You know, we look like we're good, but maybe that's just the outside. And Paul says, I want you to know my affairs and how I'm doing. And Tychicus, or Tychicus, as Jim said, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, is going to make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. And the point I want to get to is, by the way, sometimes in church, you know what? Our hearts aren't comforted and they need it. And again, that's why we're coming, right? Workshop, hospital, we're coming to be comforted. We're coming to be changed. We're coming with our needs. And Paul speaks this. And he says, by the way, they're worried about Paul. You know why? Because he's in jail. He's in prison. Not for doing anything wrong, but for sharing the gospel. He's locked up. And if, by the way, if people weren't caring for him, like feeding him, he would die. If they weren't clothing him, he would die. If they weren't taking care of his needs from the outside, he would not live. And he says, I want you to know what's going on, that you guys can be comforted. And then he says this at the very end. He says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says these words, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And I love that phrase. Remember, grace, you know what grace is, right? It's God's unmerited favor, provision, strength in the midst of our struggles. He says, God's grace to you. And everybody look up. That's what God wants us to share with each other, like Paul is sharing this from prison with the church at Ephesus, who, by the way, at this moment was following their first love. But if we go down to Revelation, they kind of slipped and they kind of lost that a little bit. So here's where he's going with that. So let's dig in a little more. Couple things I want us to kind of clarify, and then we're not going to spend forever on this, but you guys can jot these down. We'll give them all a minute. They're all going to come up on the screen, because you might ask this question, when I examining a messy church, like what is going on? Why is it so messy? So I want you to understand for a second what we see and what we feel and why Ephesians is all about being a church of grace, right? What's going on here? And let's just kind of dig in for a second. So the first thing I want to share with you guys, and we won't, again, take forever time on all these, is this. The first thing we all got to understand is people, and God, write this down, people, even and especially Christians, are messy. I only heard like one or two amens. But yeah, you know, thank you, Gloria. Gloria is the only honest one at this moment in the service, right? But it's really true, right? We're kind of messy. I'm kidding you guys, and you guys all know it's true. But I want to share a passage with you guys. And turn with me real fast. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, we're not in Ephesians, but Paul also founded the church at Corinth as well. And I want you to listen to what Paul says. And he writes this letter to this church at Corinth, and he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you guys to ask, and here's the question. When you hear Paul's introduction, what kind of church are you picturing? Like, I'm picturing that church on the road with the light on it, going like, man, they're incredible. But guess what? When I read 1 Corinthians and I just go down a few verses, the first thing Paul says is, you all got to stop being divided. And then later on in the book, he says, you Christians, stop suing each other in a court of law. What's wrong with you guys? Bring it to the Lord and solve it. Sanctified, beautiful, incredible church. Well, what's going on? These Christians are a mess. They're divided. They're suing each other. Later on, he says, and then there's people that are involved in all kinds of sexual sin that would like curl our hair. You know, even in our day, we're going, man, what is happening with these people? And I say this, because that's the church. People are messy. You know, they don't follow the Lord completely the way they need to. So the church of Corinth is a good example. By the way, the church of Corinth is a lot like the church in the Western world. God's doing remarkable things, but there's a lot going on, as they say, in the church. So next thing I want to share with you guys is, how about this one? And by the way, this is not meant to make you doubt your salvation or anything like that, but guess what? Some people in the church are not in Christ. It's really true. Some people here, and I don't know if there's anybody here right now, but some people here in the church of Jesus Christ who act like they're Christians, may even think they are Christians, or know they're not Christians, aren't Christians. They're really not believers in Christ. Their hearts have not been changed. That's who they are. And they're here. They're in the midst. They're in the midst of the body right now. And we know when we read that, and I just go back to Ephesians real fast. This is how it is for us before we knew Christ in Ephesians chapter 2. And by the way, this is sort of how we apply this book. Remember, Paul says, in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And he's trying to say, you know, if there's people here that aren't Christians, guess what? They're not going to act like Christians. And I want to throw this out. Sometimes, by the way, we take this vantage point on the world. We're like, they're not acting like Christians. They're doing stuff that God says don't do. What is wrong with them? And the answer is what? They're acting just like they're supposed to because they don't know Christ. And the only way to fix that is give them Christ. Right? That's the only way we can fix it. And we said that so many times, and it's a good tagline of people who sometimes tweet these incredible lines out. You can't fix sin without Jesus. But we keep trying. We keep thinking that maybe it's possible, but it's not really possible. So there's people here that aren't even saved. And you guys can jot down the references and think about those later. But, you know, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 talks about, you know, when at Noah, right, everyone's thought was what? Only evil continually. And by the way, evil a lot of times is like selfishness and all those kinds of things, right? And we could go on and on. I'm not going to go on that. Here's the second one, beyond the larger one, which is people are a mess, right? The second one is this. Some people are what? Babes in Christ. They're not mature. They're not mature. And some, by the way, some of those people are us. So turn with me just for a second, if you guys would, go to Mark chapter 10. We'll kind of hit it fast here. Mark 10. And I wanted, by the way, I'm kind of illustrating this today through the disciples. So I want you guys to remember, you're disciples and I'm a disciple, and we're still a mess. Jesus' disciples from the beginning were not the dream team. They were the messy team. But God used them to literally turn the world upside down. And we are a product of these 12 guys that didn't go to seminary, didn't have an incredible education formally. But they walked with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they really got a perspective on what God is able to do through Jesus Christ. So when I go to Mark chapter 10, I want you guys to just turn with me very quickly in Mark 10 and go to verse 13. And you guys, I'm looking at Matthew, and it doesn't look like Mark because it isn't. So let me go to Mark, and I can fix that. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, look what it says. And God, think about this. It says, by the way, this is Jesus. All the disciples are there. They're doing incredible stuff. And it says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Picture that. And I want you guys to understand, right? Look up. You know what their problem was? These kids are making it a mess. You know, think about the little kids coming to Jesus. You know, we have that picture, you know, that painting that we've all seen, you know, where Jesus has the little kids on his knee, and they're all like, you know, they all look good. Nobody's dirty. Nobody's sick. Nobody's doing the wrong thing. That's a picture. This is the reality, right? The disciples are like, these kids, they're loud. They're running around. They might break something. You know, they're in the way. We were just trying to get a minute of peace and quiet. And doggone it, Jesus wants these kids to come to him. What is going on? And that's exactly, you know, these are the disciples that we follow. And notice what Jesus says to them. It says, and by the way, Jesus got a little hot under the collar in a righteous way, which is hard for me and you to do. But look what it says. It says, and when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Oh, that's the kingdom of God. You know, and I'll throw this out, and this is a confession of what's going on. Sunday afternoons around church right now are crazy. Praise God. We got kids everywhere. You know, we're throwing food out to them, pizza. You know, adults are trying to leave, and kids, you know, it's a little crazy. We're trying to get a grip on it. We're trying to organize it better. But praise God, there's like 50, 60 kids here or more on a Sunday afternoon in the house of God trying to learn about God and get discipled. That's a good mess to have. That's a good mess to have, right? But we all struggle with it. Don't get me wrong. We all struggle with it. You know, and I'll confess to you guys, when I was before I was a youth pastor here, I was the youth leader. And by the way, Margaret, praise God for John Hoffman, because he kept me out of so much trouble with Pastor Montgomery when things got broke. You know, and I'll share my very first night as the youth pastor, where you guys actually paid me. There was, remember those yellow windows that we had in there? Praise God, they're gone. Right, but we had those yellow windows, and we were doing like an activity in the sanctuary with the youth group, and it was me. I backed up into the window, and guess what happened? Boom! The glass like blew out, and everyone just like went silent, because they were worried what was going to happen next. Thank God, Pastor Montgomery was at the parsonage, and he didn't come over that night. And John Hoffman had a window in the attic, in the glass, all prepared for the now hole in the window. And he put it in, and we screwed it all in there, and everything was cool. And I say that to say this. You know, when I was the youth pastor, and by the way, this happens to youth pastors all the time. Whenever something gets broke at church, it's always the teens. It's always them. You know, something's broke, something's missing, something's not put away right. Those teenagers, what are they doing? Right? And again, it's just kind of like, that's our spirit though, isn't it? That's how we think. But praise God, they're the mission. Like, we're trying to change their lives forever. So pray for Gloria and John. And we have the window company on speed dial. So don't worry, we're going to be okay. But that's kind of how we think. In addition to that, kind of thinking about that, you know, people are babes in Christ. notice the next thing that happens. And just real quick, look over at verse 35. So not only are kind of they lose their focus while we're doing what we do, but look what it says. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, Jesus, saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want from me? And they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. So not only do people like us miss the mission, but we also end up letting our flesh and our selfishness come out, and we think that church ought to be about us. You know, and we all do this because it just comes natural. Like we all have our ideas and our way and our pride. But these guys are getting at the disciples, and they're saying, wait a second, you know, Lord, you know, can you elevate us? Because we're really working hard for you, God. Can you take care of us that way? So, again, this is what goes on, right? Church is messy because we're a messy bunch. You know, we kind of can see that there. I'm going to skip on down. Here's the next one. Not only are some people immature, some aren't in Christ, but some, all of us as people are broken and in need of grace or change. All of us. And I want to illustrate that again. And you guys, these passages are kind of fun ones to look at. But go to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll go to verse 21, just real quick. Matthew 16, 21. And kind of check this out. And by the way, this is Peter. He is like in the inner circle, and he is in the inner circle of the inner circle when it comes to the disciples, right? You can't get much closer to Jesus than Peter, James, and John. And you kind of picture this again, and this is us, because we just need that transformation. It says in this passage, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Now, if I'm a disciple and I'm following Jesus and I left my job and my family and all that, whoa, what is he saying here for a second? But check out what Peter says. And Peter is like, you know, he's hand chosen by Jesus, literally. Jesus called him out. And it says, and Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him. And he said, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen to you. And I want you guys to stop this for a second and just put our minds on this for a minute. So Peter, a disciple, a human being who's kind of a messing of himself, and he kind of knows it. He's loud mouth. He talks before he thinks, you know, like many of us. And here he is, and he says, I know you're the Lord, but hold on for a second. Don't be talking about all this crucifixion and suffering stuff, because we don't really want that. So not only is he trying to correct the omniscient God of the universe, like, what is this guy thinking? And I want to throw out to us, and I use that example as a way to illustrate this. Isn't that us sometimes? All of us need transformation. We're pretty far along. Like, a lot of us have been on this journey for a number of years or decades. But every once in a while, we are really, really off. And we all need to be changed. And I'll leave it at that. The last one, and we covered this last week, remember this. There is continual opposition, right? All the powers of hell in the demonic realm have their eyes fixed on fighting God's program and God's plan and God's people. And we're it. And by the way, if you're unsure about that, come back today or come back anytime. Go to any ministry. And even by the way, I see Cindy sitting upstairs. You know, we're having all this tech stuff going on. It never fails during the week on Tuesday when we don't have church. What's going on here? Like, think about what's going on. There is opposition against the things of God and the program of God. And we got to be aware of that. And, you know, we shared this last week, and Sam, advance me, if you would, please. One more time. Oh, here we go. Keep going. Remember all these oppositions that we face? They're all there, right? Here's Satan. I'm going to get these people to doubt. I'm going to disappoint and discourage them till they quit. I'm going to make them think that disobeying God is a better choice. I'm going to put some desires in their heart. I'm just going to kind of rev them up because they're already there. I'm going to distract them. You know what? They don't have to be bad. You know, what's that phrase? Satan said, I don't got to make them bad. I'm just going to make them real busy. You know, I'm going to throw some disease out there and get them to shake like Job and Mrs. Job. Or last, one of my real great things I use as Satan is division. I'm going to get them thinking all kinds of things and think that the enemy is really their brother and sister in Christ. I'm going to even convince them that I don't exist because it's better that way. So that opposition is just going on and going on and going on, right? And we're going to advance to the next piece. So that's why church is a mess. So what are we going to do about it? So let's embrace this mess. And let's say, you know what? God's got a plan. God's not playing around. He's got a plan. And we'll go down to the next one if you would, Sam. And here it is. Get this in our minds, right? It's God's model and purpose, and he loves the church. And all, by the way, all three of those things are so important. It's God's model. He cooked the church up in eternity past. He has a purpose for us, which is to go and make disciples and bring him glory by doing it. And he loves the church. By the way, Jesus never, ever fired the disciples. All of us would have. Right? So it's his purpose. And he says that in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Ephesians 3. Just one verse there. It's just real powerful. We studied it in our study so far of Ephesians. And it says about this mystery of the church. He says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So check this out. When we're all here, right, in church, we are demonstrating the perfection of God's plan in reaching people through broken people in the power of an almighty God by his Spirit. Isn't that kind of cool? That's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing. And our little people, by the way, are coming in because we're going to celebrate the Lord's table in a minute. And it may look a little confusing, but praise God, we got little people that are looking for Jesus, right? So here's the next thing real fast. Get this in your mind. Messy is a reality in church history. It's not new or unexpected. And I'm going to throw this out. Ongoing issues. Here's a theological term that you may have heard. Paul's letters or epistles, they're called this word. They're called occasional. And occasional doesn't mean once in a while. Occasional means that these letters came out because there was an issue in that place. So when Paul wrote to the people at Corinth, it wasn't just saying, hey, how y'all doing? He was saying, we got to address division. We got to address these legal issues you guys are doing with each other. We got to address sexual immorality. And we got to address all that stuff. That was the occasion. So church has never been pretty other than maybe on the outside. But the real deal isn't that nice. And I'm going to leave the references there. I'm going to stop. Here's the other thing. Messy churches require continued discipleship, abundant grace, and fervent prayer. In other words, we're never going to get there all the way. We need God's grace. Everybody look up. We need God's grace personally, and we need to give God's grace to the rest of the group. You don't know where they came from, what they did, what was going on, what just blew up, who passed away, what happened. You don't know. I don't know either. But we need to give grace when they seem out of sorts, because there's a reason for it. Right? That's what God says. That's messy church. And I read like Revelation chapter 2. Remember, that's about all these churches. And remember, the Lord critiques all the churches, and in particular the church at Ephesus. He says this. He says, you guys lost your first love for Christ and for each other. And here they, at this point, they're doing great, but not so much in a few years later. And the last thing I want to throw out to you guys is this. Messy churches produce growing followers of Christ. That's our mission. And I'll throw this out. You know that phrase? Remember that show, Mission Impossible? You remember that? And I am like dating myself because they had like a tape recorder. Remember that? And at the very end, after the tape played about the mission, remember it was like hard to catch on fire and self-destruct. Remember that? And it would say, this is your mission. Should you choose to accept it? And I want to throw that out to us. This is our mission. It's messy, but it will guaranteed be profitable and possible because nothing's impossible with God. Right? And that's where God wants us to be. So when you guys come or you see things that are going on, you know, I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to pick on Guy for a second. You know, the food pantry thing. Like, I never thought we'd have a fruit stand out front. Most churches don't have that. I don't think they do, right? But it's kind of cool, isn't it? Like, God's bringing people in, touching people's hearts. Could we put a little letter in there? There's tracks in there. They're calling for help, you know? And here's the most amazing thing about God, too. You know, if we had to buy all that stuff, we couldn't even do it. People are calling us up saying, take as much as you want. Like, it's a God thing. It's definitely not a Gary thing. It's definitely not a guy thing. It's definitely not anybody else thing. It's a God thing. Like, I don't know how this happened. We used to give away loaves of bread and bagels that were day old and sometimes moldy. And now it's like 75 families and their families are touched. It's a God thing. It's like, it doesn't even make sense, but God's doing something. So like, we got to go with the flow on that one, right? So God's doing something special. And I just want to encourage us, stay in the game. Stay in the game, right? Let's do it. So we're going to quit. I just remind you, I'm praying always with all prayer and supplication from last week. Man, we need to keep on praying for each other and for God to show his will. Our eternal truth, I'm not going to say it again. And our friends, the ox. In. Right? Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of an ox. Amen? So, if anybody asks you in the parking lot, what happened at church? Tell them that verse. I'll be curious what their face looks like when you tell them that, right? Let them know. So let's close with a word of prayer.